Order. We'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and let's continue to stand for a moment of silence in remembrance of our three heroes who paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Professor, you want these?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone.
Again, good morning, everyone. Members, any comments, thoughts from members? Pat, you want to do a roll call real quick to see what I got online too?
Sheriff Daniels is in the room. Commander Figueroa is in the room. Mr. Johnson is in the room. Miss Kelly, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Good morning. Professor Robinson's in the room. Colonel Silbert's in the room. Chief Vasquez is in the room. Ms. Weiss, can you hear us this morning?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning. And Chief Williams is in the room. Officer Medina and Director Shin are unable to join us today, but we still have a quorum.
Thank you, Director. Any announcements beyond that?
Yep, and you know what? We have a long meeting today, so I'm going to make my announcements as well as my director's report fairly brief. Just a couple things. Beginning last month, I believe, Assistant Attorney General Monique Cody. It will be almost our full-time IA, what I'm told. So, Monique, thank you for being here this morning for all of our final action cases. If you could look at your agendas, item number 5 under new cases for Catherine Reyes-Figueroa, we're going to pull that. There's a little bit more work needs to be done on that, so you'll see that on a future agenda. And then just the last announcement is, in the back row, we have some friends from California Post here to join us today. If you haven't been following the news, they have an assembly bill that was just passed and signed by the governor where they will now have the ability to decertify peace officers. So they just wanted to come and see one of our board meetings, and then we have a follow-up meeting scheduled with them tomorrow just to go over some of the different nuances of the decertification process. So we're really happy to have them. They have been Manny, their director, has been very, very good to me over the years, helping me acclimate to this position, and Maria as well has provided me a lot of insight into the post in general. So I'm happy that we're finally able to return all the favors they've given me over the last 3 years. So welcome. And with that, if you're good, Chairman, I can move right into my director's report, which again will be fairly brief this month.
Thank you, Director. Go ahead.
Prop 207 funding and academy, basic academy funding continues to be an issue. We're still working through that process. We hosted an academy directors meeting a couple weeks ago. We discussed it with them. I sent out notes to all agency heads regarding basic academy funding beginning in July of 2022. By the end of the year, we'll have all the bugs worked out on how we're going to do that, and then we'll push something out to all the agency heads and the academies on how we're going to reimburse academies who do not receive any of the Prop 207 tax revenues. Chief, I looked at your numbers. You're getting your fair share of Prop 207 funding.
Thank you.
So your academy should be just fine. Couple other things. If you noticed, the parking lot was fairly full this morning. It's really nice to have people back on our grounds training. We're hosting our second iteration of executive leadership in Classroom 1. We have, I think it looked like about 40. The room was full. It looks like we have about 40 people in there from all over the state. Really excited about that. Having them, they're going to be here today, tomorrow, half a day on Friday. They'll take a week off. They'll come back the following week for Wednesday through Friday again. Really excited about that. Really bringing in some high-quality instructors from around the country and really hitting home on the leadership topic. So, again, we had a waiting list for the class. Everyone who wanted a seat, we were able to give them a seat. So really excited about that. And again, it just shows that this is leadership training that was much needed around the state. Just a couple other things. Rule revisions are still, we're in our final draft. If Mike's in the room, Mike Giamarino, he's been working tirelessly on this. It's not a glamorous project, but it's very important. So we're hopeful either next month or in December, I will present to the board our proposed rule changes, and give you guys an opportunity to weigh in on your opinions and hopefully give us approval to move forward in that process. Just a couple of things I always like to keep you advised of where I go on your behalf. I did represent Arizona Post at the State Peace Officer Memorial down at Wesley Bolin. Again, if you have never been down there since the remodel, it's beautiful. They did a really good job, and the ceremony, was very nice. I also went out, I was invited and went out to Mesa PD's Fallen Officer Memorial. Again, it was a really nice ceremony, and I was glad to represent Arizona Post there. A couple other things, I continue to sit on the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board, and we are working with them very closely, Mandy and Lori, on their national or their annual conference in January down in Tubac. We're going to provide probably about 16 hours of Arizona Post-approved training to the constables. That's part of their annual requirement, so we're happy to partner with them on that. And then finally, as you all know, next week is the ACOP training conference up in Laughlin, and I'll be representing Arizona Post up there. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll end my report. Again, it's fairly brief this month, but I'm happy to answer any questions any of the board members might have.
Thank you, Director. Welcome to our California counterparts. Nice to see you all here. Any comments from board members? Questions? There are none. Thank you, Director.
Thanks, sir.
Moving on to agenda item number D, consent agenda. Any discussion? If not, I entertain a motion for acceptance.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move that we accept the consent agenda as written.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next agenda item, final action cases. First case up is 19-188. Mr. Brechter, are we going to you first?
Yes, Mr. Okay. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. In your board packet is an administrative decision authored by Judge Jenna Clark, who was the administrative law judge who presided over this three-day hearing. In that hearing, 10 witnesses testified, 40 exhibits were admitted into evidence, four of which are body-worn camera video by various officers. I was the state prosecutor for this hearing, and because of that, your independent advisor today is Ms. Cody. The respondent is Officer John Santiago, and both he and his attorney, Mr. Ed Robina, are also present here today. And as a preliminary matter, Mr. Robina has asked to address the board. And Mr. Chairman, may he proceed.
I'm sorry?
May he proceed? May
yes, he can. Yes. Sir, you can come up. Limit to about 10 minutes.
Well, this, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my understanding is that this case is going to be a little different than the cases that you've seen here in the past. My understanding is, and tell me if I'm wrong, Mark, that Mr. Brechter intends to play for you some video and present some evidence that was present at the hearing in this case. I'm addressing you now because I want to object to that. And the reasons for that are that it is fundamentally unfair to Officer Santiago for you to see a snippet of evidence, but not all of the evidence. You don't have available to you all of the evidence because there's no transcript from the hearing. 10 witnesses, almost 20 hours of testimony, examination and cross-examination that you don't have access to. And that creates a fundamental due process problem in this case for Officer Santiago. The other thing is, this was never contemplated at the beginning of this case, during the administrative hearing in this case, and it wasn't really contemplated until now. And the only reason to put this evidence in front of you is an attempt to prejudice you, because when you see this video, if you see this video, it is hard to watch. The use of force is hard to watch. But it's not fair to Officer Santiago for you not to understand the full situation here, and I can't in 10 minutes I'll try my best, but I can't hope to present to you the evidence that led the administrative judge in this case to recommend nothing more than a brief suspension for Officer Santiago. The other thing is, I've been doing this work with police officers for nearly 25 years. In my 25 years, I've never seen this happen at the Police Officer Standard and Training Board. In the 35 years that my partners have been working with police officers, they've never seen it happen. If it's going to happen, we should know about this at the beginning, not at the end. If this is allowed in this case, then there can be no objection from the post attorneys when defense attorneys in these cases want to play for you snippets of cases because they get a bad decision before an administrative law judge. I mean, this should not happen in this case, and if it's going to happen, it should happen we should know about it at the very beginning of the case. And for that reason, those reasons, I object, and I ask that you not allow this evidence here. This is not supposed to be an evidentiary hearing. We've already had one. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Cody, you want to respond to that and update the board on what counsel stated?
Chairman, members of the board, would you like to go into executive session to receive legal advice, or would you like me to just provide legal advice in the public?
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I don't mean to interrupt. I think it would be more appropriate to go in executive session. I would concur with that.
Okay. Members concur on that? Okay. I'll take a motion to go into executive session based on legal advice. Need a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. We'll go into executive
session. Question. Will this exec...
Go ahead, Lisa.
Will the executive session allow those of us that are on the phone to participate?
I would imagine. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you.
So this time we're going to go into executive session. Council obviously will stay. If I can ask the remainder to depart the room, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I refuse myself from consideration.
Thanks for coming back. Council, we took under recommendation the video. I'm going to ask the question. Anybody want to see the video? Hearing none, we will not be showing the video today. Mr. Bracken, I'm going to turn it back over to you to present on this case, and then we'll come back to you, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Let me return to Judge Clark's administrative decision. Judge Clark issued findings that the state established cause to discipline Officer John Santiago's certification. And I believe all of you have a copy of the administrative decision. Specifically, the judge concluded that on May 16, 2018, during the arrest and search of GR, and GR is the 15-year-old in this case, that Officer Santiago used unnecessary and unreasonable force when he applied the mandibular angle pressure point compliance technique to GR. And that's in paragraph 11, page 13 of the decision. And in fact, for my presentation today, I'm just going to reference for the record what paragraphs that I am sharing with the board. Because everything that I'm sharing is in the decision, but just for reference sake, I'll be doing that. Judge Clark continues, here, respondent's conduct rises to the level of malfeasance, as it was in clear violation of his training on use of force. Respondents, John Santiago's cumulative length of the mandibular angle application, absent any affirmative compliance commands, are not consistent with post-training, are not consistent with the Mesa Police Department's policy or procedure or training. Respondents' conduct would lead a reasonably prudent citizen of ordinary intelligence to believe that he disrupted, diminished, or otherwise jeopardized the public's trust in law enforcement. And that is in paragraph 17, page 14 of Judge Clark's decision. Importantly, Judge Clark also issued a second finding that the state is asking the board to adopt. And that second finding is that during the same arrest and search of GR, that Officer Santiago used unnecessary and unreasonable force when he raised GR's handcuffed arms to a 45-degree angle for pain compliance in violation of Rule 109A8 and Rule 109A12. And that is in paragraph 19 on page 14 of Judge Clark's decision. And if I could have, since we're not showing video today, if I could have the board turn to page, bear with me. Page 5 of the decision. And we're looking at paragraph number 20. I'm just going to highlight for the board the findings that the judge made in this matter. And in her decision, she references that body-worn camera footage captured the following. And she mentions that A police helicopter was hovering overhead during a 911 call, and that a respondent responded. He formed an arrest team, and GR was arrested. GR was handcuffed, and another officer completed a prone search and declared clear. The instruction clear was given once the officer had completed the prone search. Judge Clark notes that Officer John Santiago was 270 pounds and 6'3", and that GR was 5'2" and weighed less than 150 pounds. So Judge Clark, in her conclusions of law, found that Officer John Santiago's conduct after GR was handcuffed was unnecessary and unreasonable force in violation of POST rules. I have consulted with POST staff, and the state recommends that the board adopt Judge Clark's conclusions of law. I want to now speak about Judge Clark's findings of fact, but before I do, I'm wondering if there are any questions of me up to this point.
Any questions, board members? You may continue, Mr. Rector.
Thank you. And so as far as the findings of fact, just to reiterate that Officer Santiago, with a police helicopter overhead, leads an arrest team. He has lethal cover with his AR-15 rifle. He also gives commands. The arrest team approaches the two prone suspects. An officer handcuffs GR. And it is once GR is handcuffed, and the judge notes this, that the misconduct occurred. It is Officer John Santiago's use of a mandibular angle pressure point while escorting GR to the patrol car, as well as against the hood of the police Tahoe, as well as raising Officer Santiago's arms to a 45-degree angle. And without the video, the board certainly relies on the written word of in her decision. But I do believe that the judge in her decision, she uses active verbs in her decision. And specifically, after the suspect GR was handcuffed, the judge notes in her written report that GR, and this is after he was handcuffed, that GR yelled, that GR screamed out, that GR cried out, that GR made gurgling sounds as if he was struggling to breathe, that GR continued to wail, and that GR pleaded. These are active verbs that that Judge Clark uses to describe what she saw in the videos, and she includes those in her findings of fact. Now, there are a couple of other factual findings that I want to highlight for the board that are in Judge Clark's decision. The day after this event occurred, the Mesa Police Department moved quickly on a number of events. Specifically, the Mesa Police Department initiated a professional standards investigation. That's in paragraph 3.2. The Mesa Police Department notified Arizona Post. That's in paragraph 4 of the decision. The FBI conducted a criminal rights investigation of John Santiago's conduct. That's in paragraph 7, page 3 of this decision. And then the Mesa Police Department also requested that the Scottsdale Police Department conduct a bifurcated criminal investigation. That's in paragraph 7, page 2. Judge Clark notes in her decision the outcomes of all of these proceedings, and I would like to highlight those. First, the FBI closed its case without filing charges. That's in paragraph 7. The Scottsdale Police Department case detective asked the Maricopa County Attorney's Office to charge Officer John Santiago with one count of aggravated assault. And that statute, the charging statute, was for a victim who is assaulted while bound. That's in paragraph 7 of Judge Clark's decision. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office declined prosecution on Officer Santiago for aggravated assault, citing no reasonable likelihood of conviction. That's paragraph 7, page 3. The Mesa Police Department completed its internal investigation, and it sustained findings of unreasonable and unnecessary force. And ultimately, Officer John Santiago received a 40-hour suspension. That's in paragraph 26, page 8. And that was ultimately without a need for any corrective action plan. So in sum, the state recommends that the board adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law in this decision. But I note that this does not include Judge Clark's suggestion as to discipline. Her suggestion is on the last page, on the last sentence. And in my state does offer a recommendation as to what action the board should take, but may I reserve these comments until after the respondent has presented his side.
Thank you, Mr. Brackel. Sure. Any questions for Mr. Brackel?
I've got a couple.
Director?
Mr. Brackel, a couple of things. One, the mandibular angle. For the benefit of the people who are on the call here and those who are not in law enforcement, can you describe what the mandibular angle actually is?
I can. First of all, it is a use of force. It was a use of force within the policy of John Santiago's agency. And it is a seizure under the Fourth Amendment because it is a use of force. And in plain and simple terms, it is a method to control a suspect through pain compliance. And it's officers are trained to apply pressure with their hands, or it could be even with an object, to various nerve bundles on the human body. It could be the face, could be the chin. And it's a method to gain compliance from a suspect. It's coupled with commands. Now, Judge Clark notes that in her decision, in her conclusion of law, that no commands were given to GR while the mandibular angle was being applied. And so therefore, GR, after he was handcuffed, when the pressure point was applied, wasn't able to comply with anything because nothing was said of him to comply with. And the judge noted that in her decision as part of her finding that this was malfeasance.
Okay. I don't know if that provides clarity. I think the mandibular angle, as I was taught the mandibular angle in the police academy 32 and a half years ago, is essentially using a thumb to press the area behind the ear to gain compliance. Is that correct?
It is. I was thinking of what a coup baton was. Maybe those aren't used in 2021.
But that's essentially the mandibular angle as taught, correct?
That's correct.
It's thumb pressure.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make clear this isn't a strike or anything like that, correct? The mandibular angle application is not a strike in any way.
It's not correct. A strike, sir, but as the advocate, what I presented to the judge was that it is a use of force, and it's within the, and it's written in policy.
I understand. I'm just trying to get clarification for the people who are on this, who may not understand use of force on the board. It is an application of pressure to somebody behind the ear with a thumb, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Anything else, Director? Anything else?
No.
Any other questions for Mr. Brackel? Roger, I know you reserved final, so we'll come back to you. Counsel, floor is yours.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in making this decision, I hope you will consider closely the context of what occurred here and what the officers who responded understood was happening. This call came out at 2 in the morning on May 16, 2018, The incident occurred at a Circle K in one of the highest crime areas in Mesa. The officers were told over the radio in the CAD comments that they were looking for someone who was approximately 18 years old, 160 pounds, possibly intoxicated. They were told that the person had attempted to break into a vehicle and had threatened four people at Circle K with a sawed-off shotgun. The officers understood that the victims and the witnesses felt so intimidated and that they locked the doors to the Circle K and hid in the manager's office. The officers also knew that on his way out of the Circle K, the suspect smashed the victim's window, one of the victim's car windows, an indication of his rage. The officers were given additional information indicating that the suspect was wearing gang clothing. The suspect and
his... Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I know this is an unusual case, and I have never interrupted counsel in their presentation and final action until now. But I have an objection to this. The counsel is presenting information and evidence that may have been at hearing, but it is not in the decision. And that, in this case, I'd like clarification. Counsel is accepting the decision of the judge and is here to argue as to sentencing that he would limit his presentation and argument to that.
Thank you, Mr. Bracto. Counsel?
May I respond? Sure. This is an oral argument. At oral argument, it's not... It's a presentation of my argument as to why you should be able, why you should do what I'm asking you to do. I'm not limited to the what the judge put in. It's just all in evidence. I that's never been a case here before ever in 25 years. So I would ask that you, we have the opportunity to argue. That's what we're doing here now. We're arguing our positions. And so that's nothing that I've told you is not in the evidence. It's all in the evidence.
Thank you, counsel. Mrs. Cody, I'm going to come back to you on this one as the legal.
Chairman, members of the board, I want to point out that there's nothing in the statutes or the rules that requires you to allow counsel on either side to even provide oral argument. And since that's the case, there are no guidelines in the statutes or rules. It's entirely at the discretion of the board. But out of fairness, if you allow one counsel to stray from the written record that's before you, you would also allow the other counsel to stray from the record before you. You've already denied the state's counsel from showing the video, so you might have to reconsider that decision if you're allowing the other counsel to go off the record.
Thank you, Ms. Cody. And I'm just going to give my perspective, and I'll turn back over to my colleagues here. Is what's in front of us today is the documents. I think we need to stick to that. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're reviewing today. I think that's fair to both sides and what we're doing. Membership, I'll yield to you on those comments.
So, Mr. Chairman, in keeping with the same, we didn't review the video either. So we're talking about this document and this document alone that we're looking at today. I would agree with our counsel that we just need to stick with that.
Any comments? Mr. Counsel, one second. Any other comments, Director?
I just have a question. There's things documented here that were provided to us in these documents that I have questions about, but I'd want that question directed to the person involved if I'm going to ask a question.
Yeah.
And so I just want to know that we have that latitude to
sure.
be able to do that.
You do, because that's part of the written document that's in front of us. So I would, that's inclusive to what we're talking about.
Okay.
Any other comments from board members? Okay. Mr. Counsel, any questions? Back to you.
Well, I think the only thing I would say, the difference is that what Mr. Bracto wanted to put in front of you was evidence. So what I'm asking you to listen to my argument regarding the evidence. That's the difference. I mean, you don't have to, obviously, whatever you want. I mean, I just want to give you some context as to what was happening here, what these officers were experiencing, what they saw, and why this judge ruled and recommended what she recommended, and why the state... The Maricopa County Attorney's Office decided not to pursue, and why the Justice Department decided not to pursue, and why the Mesa Police Department decided to give him a 40-hour suspension. There's reasons for that, but you won't necessarily know that unless you know the context of this case. I'll do obviously whatever you ask, but you know, I can't go back now and go, well, look at, you know, page 2, paragraph 5, where the judge said this. I can tell you what I believe she said. It's primarily what's in my argument, but I'm just trying to give you some context.
And I respect that, counsel. I think, but understand what we got to decide on today. And
sure.
we
if you can steer your comments to this document, I think we're going to be okay. If we can do that, that'd be great.
I believe in the document, although I may be wrong, that the judge explained that the use of force in this case, I could be wrong about this, the mandibular angle was not considered. It was considered a minimal use of force at Mesa Police Department. As a matter of fact, it was not even considered a reportable use of force at the time in Mesa's policies. It was not a reportable use of force. I believe this is also in the judge's comments. When the officers arrived at the scene, this suspect, he ran from the officers to begin with, and when the helicopter put its lights down on him and one of the officers confronted him with an AR-15, that's when he complied. He did not comply with the officers' instructions to look down at the ground for their safety. And when Officer Santiago approached, the suspect Officer Santiago asked another officer to approach to handcuff him to do the initial search. And when he did the initial search, without touching, basically just putting his knee on the back of the victim, or not the victim, the suspect, and starting to handcuff him, this suspect started to yell out as if he were in pain. Another officer, Officer Glover, began taking the suspect to a vehicle to do a more comprehensive search, and Officer Santiago went with him to the vehicle. I believe all of this is in the judge's report. On the way to the vehicle, Officer Santiago and the suspect and the other officer, Officer Glover, felt resistance from this suspect, and that's when Officer Santiago initially did the mandibular angle. He put his thumb on his ear, but he didn't believe that it was very effective. They got into the car, and they basically put him over the hood. They believed he was climbing up the car, and they used the mandibular angle again to try to gain compliance. The suspect in this case did not believe that the officers used excessive force. He was interviewed twice by investigators looking not at him, but at the aspects of this case. I wasn't going to mention this, but it is mentioned in the judge's report. This case gained immediate notoriety, because the chief, on the day after this, went on the news with this case before the investigation started. The investigation was done by Scottsdale, as Mr. Brackle told you, the criminal investigation. There was an IA investigation that Mesa conducted. It was looked at by the county. They sent it to an expert in California. For some reason, they also hired Rick Romney to look at the investigations. The Justice Department looked at it, and just this year, in April of this year, concluded that they were not going to pursue anything. Ultimately, as Mr. Brackle told you, the city of Mesa agreed to a 40-hour suspension. And the judge in this case, who heard 20 hours of testimony, cross-examination, direct cross and recross, redirect, from 10 witnesses, all of the officers who were there, not all of them, but we could have had every officer there, but it would have been redundant, and recommends not more than a brief suspension. And I ask that this board look at the totality of the circumstances here and understand that use of force is ugly, and it's never pretty. But these officers, there's no allegation here that the officers lied about what they believed was happening or why they did what they did, especially Officer Santiago. He made mistakes, he'll tell you himself. He should have been more clear in the commands that he was giving. But this is a good officer, and I would ask that you follow the recommendation of the judge in this case and the previous decisions of these boards and investigators and everybody that have looked at this thoroughly and said, you know, this is not a case where he needs more than a brief suspension. And if you'd like to ask him any questions, he'd be more than happy to.
Counsel, you can stay right there for a second. Yes, any questions from board members or counsel?
I just have one, Director. And then I have questions for Officer Santiago. But my, you know, I read this report, and so I see the judge make a comment to the effect that page 14, paragraph 21, line 27, respondent could have and should have used alternate de-escalation tactics to gain GR compliance. There's no statement as to what those de-escalation tactics were or whether the officers were ever trained in those de-escalation tactics or anything like that. I think there's some ambiguity to this. And then there's a concentration that I would ask you about, having reviewed it from your perspective, about language. And that obviously the language is disturbing. But not mentioned in the judge's report, but yet mentioned in the investigation conducted by AZ Post. Paragraph, what would it be? I guess this would be 20, page 5. And I'll go to paragraph C. And the last sentence. And this one has some meaning. It's all good. And OGI to the day I die, expletive east side. But that's not in the judge's report. And my question would be, if anybody knows Mr. Brachtel or counsel, and there's a reason I ask this, what gang are we talking about?
You know the name of the gang.
In reference to your question, OGI, he was a reservation gang member. Reservation gang members in that area of Mesa were right next to the Salt River Indian Reservation. They come down and do what they do. That specific OGI, original gangster, he is a member of the Water Bloods.
That's what I needed to know. Okay.
May I comment, sir, on your question?
Go ahead.
Every single officer that testified in this case, and I believe this is in the officer's report, reported that his use of that language, you know, east side, when he's on the ground, OGI to the day I die, that there was no reason that they could believe he would do that other than to potentially call for help or to try to intimidate these officers.
I'm asking the question, and I ask the question for the board's benefit, because I want to make clear. The East Valley or the East Side LaGuardia Bloods responsible for killing a police officer, an execution-style killing of a police officer and shooting two other police officers.
That is correct.
The Mesa Police Department has conducted multiple investigations involving the East Side Bloods and how dangerous they are to law enforcement directly and people in the area. So when I read that comment, and I don't see that comment in the judge's report, I have concerns.
Sir,
I'm very familiar with that gang, and I'm very familiar with their capabilities and abilities.
You're giving me chill bumps. So three of the officers that were at that scene that night stood watch around the other officers looking for muzzles at that complex because of that. This was not a situation of a 15-year-old nice kid who was drunk. He had been to that Circle K before that night, stolen beer, walked out, and came back and harassed the people on the way in, and then smashed the windows on the way of one of those vehicles on the way out. This was a dangerous situation that these officers faced, and they wanted to get it over with. The whole incident, from the time that kid was on the ground to the time he was in the car, was about a minute and a half.
Right.
Hey, Council, Mr. Brecht, go back to you.
This is Mark Brecht again. Just so that, for the record, that was Officer John Santiago who stood up and explained about the OGI. I just want that in the record because he didn't identify himself.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I should have caught that.
Right. And then the other point, Mr. Chairman, is that for the benefit of the Colonel and the Board, that on page 5 of the judge's decision, paragraph 20C, the judge does write, she watched the video and she quotes from GR where he states, OGI till the day I die, exclamation point, east side. So it is in her report, sir, on page 5, paragraph 20C.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you,
Mark. Thank you, Mr. Brackel. Council, anything else? We're going to move on here.
Sir.
Okay. Mr. Santiago, do you want to address this board?
The board has questions, officer.
Can you move to the podium, and then we'll call for the questions. Do you want to say anything, Mr. Santiago, on your own behalf?
The only thing I'd like to open with is this incident took place about 3.5 years ago. I do have an independent recollection of this event from my being there and seeing it, but I have reviewed this video numerous times to where I, to be quite honest, I have trouble distinguishing between what I remember from being there, and I remember it because I've reviewed it so many times, but just know that I might tell you, from the video, I see this happen, but it's not something I would have known at the time. That's the only thing I wanted to open with. So,
okay. Anything else, Mr. Santiago?
That is it, sir.
I'll yield back to my colleagues. Questions?
Mr. Santiago, so your chief went in the media the next day after this happened. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Did they let you continue to work?
I was placed on administrative suspension.
For how long?
For 10 and a half, 11 months.
Okay, so almost 11 months. And then you were suspended for how long?
For 40 hours.
Okay.
Any other questions, Director?
I just have one. Just give me an idea when that call comes out, how it's dispatched to you. Is it priority 3 call? Priority 4 call.
So this is an emergency call. This call was dispatched as an emergency call. Basically what happens is our dispatcher restricts the channel. She puts out a hot tone. She dispatches officers that are closest to it as an emergency call, and it gets its own channel because you get your own dispatcher because it's a very dangerous flowing thing, and they need 100% attention to the call. They can't be listening to other things. I received and I self-dispatched to this call because I was writing a report at the time due to the fact of where it was at, the descriptions of the crimes being taken, the fact that the subject was armed, and that I knew it was going to require a large number of officers to conclude safely.
Okay.
So to answer your question, via the CAD, I looked at our CAD, our computer, I was able to look at the call, and then I was also hearing all the comments as they were being voiced.
So is it normal for you to deploy with your AR-15 just on every call?
No, not at all. Specifically, this one was due to the fact that the subject in this was armed with a sawed-off, which was described to be a sawed-off shotgun, and was attempting to carjack a vehicle and had attempted to rob and assaulted some people in the store.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Santiago from board members?
Chairman, I'm sorry. Are you back to work now?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been back to work?
I've been back to work about 2 years.
Okay, thank you.
Professor?
Yeah, thank you. That was part of one of my questions I had. The other question was, if I remember reading correctly in the reports, and I read it earlier in the week, did they ever locate the weapons or anything else related to GR or the individual, what he was reported to have had in his possession?
Yes, he was familiar to the complex, and he had left the backpack on a porch of one of the houses or one of the apartments. It's an open courtyard type of apartment there, and it was in the backpack which he was wearing as he fled the scene.
And the weapons were inside of it?
Yes, there was a sawed-off. It ended up not being a shotgun. It was a sawed-off 22 bolt-action rifle, but it was described as a sawed-off shotgun.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair, this is Lisa. I have a question for Mr. Brachtel.
Sure. Lisa, go ahead.
Mark, do you have a recommendation with regard to resolution of this matter?
I do, Ms. Weiss, and I was waiting to present that on the backside. And just for the record, I plan on describing historically how prior boards have taken action on these kinds of cases involving use of force after a suspect is handcuffed. And there are some cases, and I'm intending to share that with Weiss.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa. Any other questions, Reverend Mr. Santiago? Mr. Santiago, thank you.
Thank
you for being here today. Council, thank you. Mr. Bracto, for your conclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. And turning back to the administrative decision, Judge Clark does make a suggestion. It's on the last sentence, on the last page, as to what action the board should take. The judge's suggestion is merely that, an idea. The legislature has not instructed administrative law judges to recommend discipline in post cases. It is not binding on this court. Instead, the decision of what action to take rests in the hands of this board. Now, as far as recommendations, there are a bank of post cases involving use of force, and many of these cases, officers have relinquished their certification. And these cases where officers have relinquished have some common elements that I would like to share with the board. In these cases of relinquishment, officers have, in many cases, been terminated by their agency.
I'd like to make an objection now. But
Mr. Bracto, go ahead. We'll come back to you. Okay.
Thank you. And in these cases of relinquishment, officers have used intermediate impact weapons and have... the individuals have suffered serious physical injuries in these cases. And in some of these cases, the officers' actions have shocked the consciousness of the community. So from a historical perspective, has this board accepted relinquishments, voluntary relinquishments for use of force on handcuffed prisoners? The answer is yes. Those typically, they'll have occurred through a voluntary relinquishment, which ends up on your consent agenda, and it's never discussed. It just occurs. And but with that being said, post staff was consulted on this ahead of time, and post staff and the state don't see this case as that. And for some reasons, which I would like to share, which is that his own agency disciplined him with 40 hours. And my understanding is that, I believe this was testimony, that Officer Santiago remained in the field training program after he completed his discipline. And that at the time of this incident in 2018, that Officer Santiago had no prior discipline history with use of force. So with that being said, post staff in the state use this case as a suspension. And what I want to do is just walk through, we have some cases that have been heard previously that I would like to walk through. It ultimately will be for the board to deliberate and compare what you have done with what you want to do today in 2021. But may I share several of those cases briefly?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Arizona Post has searched for use of force cases which have involved use of force on handcuffed suspects or on suspects who have self-surrendered. In 2020, in the Warren case, which was post-file 19-185, the board accepted a consent agreement for a two-year suspension. In that case, a sergeant on duty grabbed the hair of a handcuffed 13-year-old and shoved or dropped him to the ground. That same sergeant, that same night, on a different call for service, walked a handcuffed juvenile who was 16 years old and pushed him into a wall in the prison jail cell. There were no physical injuries. In either of those cases, nonetheless, it was an unreasonable and unnecessary use of force on handcuffed juveniles. The department fired that sergeant, and the board accepted a consent agreement for a two-year suspension. The only other case that that the state found that was brought to final action in front of the board was a use of force case from 2019, and that was the Podea matter. It's post file number 17-092. And in that case, A violent suspect was attempting to self-surrender. The suspect laid down on the ground and proned himself out. Moments earlier, the suspect, who was a grown man, had threatened to shoot officers, and the suspect threw rocks and smashed out windows. While in the act of handcuffing the suspect who was proned out, an officer did a running, jumping leap onto the suspect's back and then delivered head strikes to the back of his head. Pain was caused. There was no physical injury. Otherwise, the board accepted a consent agreement for a suspension of 320 hours. Now, there are some older cases that are 5 to 10 years old, and in those cases, the common element is that in use of force on suspects who were either handcuffed or self-surrendered, in these several cases that are reported, is that the board tended to adopt the discipline that was imposed by the agency. So in one case, a police department suspended an officer for 74 days, and the officer had elbowed a suspect in the head after the suspect had been handcuffed. And a prior board in 2004 adopted the agency's discipline of 74 days. It was a 74-day suspension. There's another case from 2014 where a previous board adopted the discipline of an agency, and in that case was 240 hours or 24 days. So there is a history here. However, there is no case the same as this. So ultimately, it would be the state recommends that the board deliberate. At best, the state can provide a recommendation as to an approximation, and that would be between a 1 to 2 year suspension.
Thank you, Mr. Brackdell. Sir, did you want to say something? Please stay on topic with me.
Yes, sir. Sir, the reason I object to that is because every case is highly individualized. We don't know what happened in those cases. We don't know why the board decided what they decided. We know a lot about this case. We know a lot about this officer and a lot about the circumstances and facts. And we also know that multiple agencies looked at this, and all of them decided similarly, either to not take action or to give him a minimal suspension. And I would ask that you follow those agencies who have spent time on this case and do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. All righty. I will yield back to membership for discuss this with possible recommendations.
Yeah. I did have one question. Which police chief were you suspended by?
It was John Santiago. It was Ramon Bautista.
He suspended you for 40 hours?
Yes.
Okay. So chief, the current chief is Chief Cost?
That is correct.
Okay, so he didn't suspend you. It was Chief Batista?
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Chief?
So, Jerry Williams, I don't have a question, sir. I just have a comment. And it's a little bit of a frustration point. And it happens in my own agency, too, where it takes us so long to get to the bottom of a case that regardless of which side of the equation you're sitting on, it's just challenging for all of us. I mean, this man's been at work for 2 years, and we're talking about something that happened in 2018. But I also don't think your actions were in keeping with good Arizona Post standards. I say that all day. But it took us forever to get here. So it's a little bit of frustration on my part, Chairman.
Thank you, Chief. Director?
My next comment would be this. And I'd ask Officer Santiago this question because it'll help, I think, us understand a little bit more. Being off for almost 11 months, was that a stressful time for you?
Yes, sir, it was.
Okay.
It's not like you're home on vacation. You're subject to call. Basically, I have to call in at 7 in the morning and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon to call off. Subject to call, being called in to IA, you're basically on house arrest. You can't leave to go get something to eat or anything. You have to get at your house for that point.
Okay. All right, thank you. The reason I asked that question, and I just wanted to get his perspective on it, is where Mr. Brackdell made a recommendation or gave us a reference that's pretty strong reference when you're talking about a year to 2 years. The police agency made the recommendation of 40 hours. Furthermore, he was home for almost 11 months. I'm not sure why we wouldn't run a concurrent suspension, if we're going to do that, to the one that has already taken place from the Mesa Police Department with what's transpired. So I guess I'd make it simple. I'd make a motion. Go ahead.
Mr. I have a question for you, sir. During that 10 to 11 months that you were on home suspension, did you receive a paycheck?
Yes, I did.
So you wasn't really suspended without pay?
Correct. I was being...
So basically paid. You were working at home?
Yes.
Okay, receiving a paycheck.
That is correct.
Okay, so, okay, thank you. I don't think we should run a concurrent with that because he received a paycheck for it. If we're going to do it, it's got to be, if we're going to do it concurrent where he didn't receive a paycheck, because he basically was working at his house.
Thank you, Chief. Chief, do you have something?
I just have a comment. So, and this is for you, Mr. Santiago. So are you still a field training officer, or during this time that after this happened, the incident happened, are you or were you still an FTO?
Yes.
Are you still an FTO?
I am not.
When did that end?
That ended 6 months after I came back to work. Well,
and then when did you come back to work again?
To be honest with you, I don't remember the exact date, but it was... I can defer to my dad based on my wife. She probably knows, but I don't know the date. March or April of the following year.
19. Okay. Thank you.
Further comments? I would look for a recommendation.
Chairperson, members of the board, this is your independent advisor, Monique Cody. Before a motion is made regarding discipline, I would recommend that a motion is made to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law with any revisions that you feel appropriate. But I do want to point out that when a motion is made to adopt the findings of fact and conclusion of law, finding of fact number 23 in the second sentence, the date March 18th, 2018 needs to be replaced with the date August 30th, 2018 to accurately reflect the case.
Thank you, Ms. Cody. I'll entertain a motion. Let's start there.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move that we adopt the facts of the motion with the changes that were mentioned by counsel.
Does that motion also include adopting the conclusions of law from the ALJ decision?
Yes.
It's finding the fact.
Too many words going on.
I know. It's finding the fact and conclusion of law. Some boards make separate motions for each, but for timing, it will make one motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Cole.
Second.
Second by Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Now, let's talk about the consequences.
Chairman, may I address the board? This is Mark Brattel. To the Colonel's point and to Chief Vasquez's point, the very definition of suspension can't include the days that you were on admin leave. So I think to the Colonel's point, though, he's looking at subtracting that time, and that's the board's purview. If you just want to make take action on a time of suspension in months and subtract out how long he was on admin leave, you certainly can do that. That's your purview. Just call it suspension time.
Okay. Yeah, the point is he's going to go on record as having had, if it were found that way, theoretically, he would go on suspension or record as having a suspension through AZ Post and through his department of 40 hours, per, let's say. Is that correct? In other words, he's going to have it on his record. One way or
whatever the board decides as far as the time of suspension will go on as record.
Right. We're just not... Okay. I got it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lisa.
Lisa. I'd like to make a motion that... And please help me, Mr. Brachtel, if my wording is incorrect, that the board accept the Mesa 40-hour suspension as... I would say time served, but the punishment in this matter for Mr. Santiago and no further issue with this board at this time. Help me out, Mark.
This is Monique Cotier, independent advisor.
Okay.
So the action of the of each entity involved is separate. So if I'm understanding you correctly, your motion is for AZ Post to take no further action. To adopt, we have already adopted findings of fact, conclusion of law, but the final decision would be to take no further action. If I'm following you correctly, I believe that would be what the effect of your motion would be.
That is correct, Monique. Thank you.
Excuse me, Chairman, can I interject just for 1 second?
Yes, sir.
I think she's looking at our past practices and that she's not recommending no action. She's recommending the board issue a suspension for 40 hours retroactively during the same time period that Officer Santiago was suspended from Mesa PD. Is
that,
that
is correct?
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Director. We need to clarify that. Good. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director. Any further discussion?
Is it possible, this is Jamie, is it possible to repeat the motion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Chairperson, members of the board, I could restate the motion if you'd like me to.
Go ahead.
The motion that has been made and seconded would be the discipline would be a 40-hour suspension that would cover the dates of the Mesa Police Department suspension that has already been served would be the motion.
Yes. Does that clarify, Jamie?
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay.
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 Gotta do roll call.
Roll call.
Sheriff Downs?
Nay.
Commander Figueroa?
Aye.
Mr. John, accused. Ms. Kelly?
Nay.
Professor Robinson?
Aye.
Colonel Silbert?
Aye.
Chief Vasquez?
Nay.
Ms. Weiss?
Aye.
And Chief Williams?
Nay.
It's a tie. Ms. Cody.
Chairman, members of the board, the effect of a tie is that the motion has failed. Okay. So I would advise you continue discussion and then have a member make a new motion because that motion has now failed.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, Jerry Williams, Chief Williams, I do believe some type of suspension is warranted. I'm confused on what that looks like. Back to my point, and this is your life, it doesn't involve anybody else but you and your wife, but I'm guessing that could be mother-in-law or somebody behind you. I don't think your actions were in keeping with good policing. It wasn't good policing in 2018. It's not good policing in 2020. But what does a suspension look like is kind of what's up in the air. So that's just my 2 cents, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chief.
Mr. Chair, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Professor.
If I could say something. Kevin Robinson, the biggest problem I have with this and the reason I went with I so that Officer Santiago, so that you understand, is that there's been a long time has passed, and that's what I have a problem with. If this had come to us in a more timely manner, I would be going in a different direction. And I understand the Mesa Police Department has gone in whatever direction they're going in, but the lapse of time is of concern to me. If that weren't the case, I think Chief Williams put it best. Your actions are not in any way, shape, or form acceptable. They just weren't. It is not good policing. And therein lies, I think, some of the problems we have with policing these days and how people view law enforcement is because of those types of actions. So you need to understand that. But my biggest issue was because of the amount of time that has elapsed since the occurrence and where we're at now.
I think the 40 hours was consistent with most people based on where we're at. Do we want to do a current 40-hour? I'm just throwing that up as a food for thought as we push this forward. It's been a little over an hour and a half on this.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Lisa.
It's Lisa again. So as a former prosecutor for many years, I concur with the professor and I concur with Chief Williams that this is not upholding the post standards by any means. I'm trying to grasp what the resolution is you were just mentioning. I would be willing to make a motion to support a 40 hours suspension in addition to the 40 hours that was already incurred by Mesa, if the board would entertain that.
So Lisa, do you want to define a time for that, a current time for that?
You know what? He's been employed with the city, and he's been working there for now 2 years, as I think I heard.
Yes.
I would leave it up to the lawyers to decide when that resolution would occur, but I would ask that it happen prior to the end of 2021.
Mr. Brecht, before we accept the motion, Ms. Cody, you're our legal on this. I keep going back to you because that's habit. Ms. Cody, can you define that? What's the best approach on this for if she wants to do a 40-hour suspension motion?
If I understand correctly, the motion would be for an 80-hour suspension. 40 of it has already been served, with 40 additional hours of suspension to be served prior to the end of calendar year 2021. Was that correct? Is that what you would propose for your motion?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I interject one more time? I just want to make sure we're clear. The 40 hours that Mesa PD gave Officer Santiago as suspension has nothing to do with this certification. So I just want to make sure when we talk about 80, it's not, the board would not be imposing an 80-hour suspension on a certification. What I, and Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I hear you saying is you want to do a prospective suspension of a certification for 40 hours, which would just kind of mirror what Mesa gave them, but again, those two are completely unrelated. Is that correct?
I concur, and yes.
With that clarification, the motion would be a 40-hour suspension to be served prior to the end of calendar year 2021.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Boyd. Lisa, are you good with that motion? Okay. Thank you. Lisa, do I have a second?
Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the motion. All in favor, the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, counsel. Good luck, Mr. Santiago. All right, moving on. Next case. Case number 21-010. Ms. Brecker, you going to do this one? Who will be back to on this one?
Gino Durant.
Gino, back to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Gino Durant, your Assistant Attorney General and Advocate Attorney. Before you is a motion to reconsider the complaint, to reconsider and dismiss the complaint. This case involves an allegation that Phoenix Police Officer Chris Lowry made an untruthful...
Mr. Chairman, may I interrupt for 2 seconds? I need to recuse myself. I need that to be on the record. Thank you.
That'd be noted. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, may I interrupt as well? This is Jamie Kelly, and I need to recuse myself off the case. I'm not sure if we still have a quorum.
Thank you, Jamie. Do we have a quorum, Sandy?
We
I don't think we do.
Do we?
No.
We do.
Yeah, okay.
We do have a quorum? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Gino.
Again, this case involves an allegation that Phoenix Police Officer Chris Lowry made an untruthful verbal report to his supervisor as he had caused some damage to his police vehicle during the course of responding to a call for service. The alleged untruthful statement occurred during a brief and unrecorded cellular telephone call from Officer Lowry to his patrol sergeant reporting that he had discovered some damage to the vehicle. Due to some significant inconsistencies in the statements made by the sergeant to the investigators as to what exactly was said during this very brief phone call, post staff recommended this board take no action in this case. However, the board chose to initiate proceedings on May 19, 2021. Since that time, I have conducted a thorough review of the case, including listening to recorded interviews, reading written reports, reading text messages, reading emails, and reading MDC messages that were exchanged by Officer Lowry between himself and squad mates and dispatchers. I and a member of the compliance staff also conducted a secondary interview with the sergeant to try to clarify the record. At the conclusion of this review, I do not believe that AZ Post would be able to prove the allegation that Officer Lowry was intentionally untruthful by a preponderance of the evidence, and therefore further proceedings in this matter would not be in the interest of justice. Therefore, I ask you to grant my motion to dismiss the May 19, 2021 complaint. I'm happy to answer any questions you have or refer you to Ms. Cody.
Thank you, sir. Questions by board members? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman. Kevin Robinson. I move to grant the state's motion to dismiss the complaint and dismiss the May 19, 2021 complaint.
Thank you, Professor.
Second.
Second by Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say aye, saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case will be case number 21-099. I'll turn back over to staff. I don't have a list who's presenting what, so.
That would be me again, Mr. Chair.
Okay,
Mr. Chair. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, former Deputy Sheriff Matthew Barton, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. Mr. Barton is currently employed by the FY County Sheriff's Office in a non-sworn capacity. He is represented by attorney Ed Robina, who was here prior. I don't know if he's still here, but there he is. Should the board have any questions for him? On February 21st, 2021, Mr. Barton was employed as a YCSO deputy. At that time, a friend of his called him and requested he conduct an egregious records check on a vehicle that he claimed was suspiciously parked near his residence. After getting that request from his friend, Mr. Barton contacted the YCSO dispatch center and conducted the records check of the license plate his friend had provided him. Mr. Barton then provided the information about the vehicle and the registered owner to this friend. During a subsequent criminal investigation, it was determined that Mr. Barton's friend was dishonest with him, that the vehicle in question was not, in fact, suspiciously parked near his residence, and that the friend had, let's say, ulterior motives for obtaining information about that vehicle's registered owner. The vehicle was, in fact, an unmarked DPS undercover vehicle, which alerted authorities to this incident. And the DPS vehicle's presence there was unrelated to the reason this friend was asking about it. Mr. Barton was terminated as a deputy sheriff on June 13, 2021. However, the FBI County Attorney's Office declined to prosecute Mr. Barton for the egregious felony violation. The parties to this consent agreement agree that Mr. Barton's violations are in violation of post rules, specifically 13.4.109A8 and A12. The parties propose that the board suspend Mr. Barton's peace officer certification for a period of 1 year, beginning retroactively to June 14th, the day after his termination, until June 14th, 2022. This proposal is in within the range of permissible discipline for peace officers who have committed similar conduct. Again, I'm happy to answer your questions or refer you to Ms.
Cody. Mr. Barton, thank you.
I need to recuse Director. Myself from this case.
For the note, Director is recusing. Any questions?
Excuse me, Madam Chairman, members of the board. Sorry about that. Do we still have a quorum if the colonel has recused himself also?
Yeah, he's the only one to recuse in this case.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Thank you, Ms. Cody. Any questions? And if not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of Mr. Barton's peace officer certification beginning June 14th, 2021 and ending June 14th, 2022.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second. Thank you, sir. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case. 20-172, Mr. Caldwell.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This is the final action case for former Mesa Officer Corey Cover. The board initiated proceedings against Officer Cover's certification on May 19, 2021. Complaint notices were sent to his address via regular and certified mail. They were later returned to AZ Post without being delivered. A complaint notice was sent to an alternate address and also returned to AZ Post. Staff communicated with Cover in August 2021. He stated he was aware notices had been mailed to him, but he did not pick them up from the post office. On August 12, 2021, a complaint notice was emailed to him and he confirmed receiving it. Neither Officer Cover nor anyone representing him has requested a hearing, and to briefly summarize his case, Mesa PD sustained allegations against him at the conclusion of two internal investigations. Those investigations showed a pattern of conduct involving neglect of duty for failing to complete written reports in 17 separate incidents, including DUIs hit and runs in a domestic case, failure to complete and submit charging documents in 4 criminal cases, 1 hit and run and 3 shoplifting cases, and failure to properly collect items of evidence during a criminal investigation. In addition, Mesa PD determined that during these incidents, during 3 incidents that occurred in January of 2020, Officer Cover's actions placed fellow officers in possibly unsafe situations. For example, in 1 incident, he was dispatched to assist another officer who was out with a wanted person. He acknowledged the call, but approximately 9 minutes later, told dispatchers he would handle a business alarm that was holding. He requested another unit assist the officer who was out with the wanted person, but GPS records indicated that during that 9-minute period, Cobra's patrol car was stationary and parked in a Starbucks parking lot. So essentially, he got the dispatch to assist the other officer, but really made no attempt to actually even head to the scene and help him out with the wanted person he was out with. In another incident, he responded to a call about a subject at headquarters who threatened to shoot another officer. Upon arrival, he briefly conferred with another responding officer and then left to take a lunch break. The suspect was arrested with help from other officers at headquarters. His chain of command recommended termination, citing disciplinary history as an aggravating factor, but he resigned in lieu of termination. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke peace officer certification, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have about this case.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
I move to revoke Mr. Cover's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Director. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Chief Williams. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-167. Back to you, Mr. Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Billy Caldwell again. This also involves another former Mesa police officer, Andrew Johnson. The board initiated proceedings against his certification on July 21st, 2021. Complaint notices were sent to his address via regular and certified mail and were not returned to AZ Post. Records indicate that the certified mailing was, quote, delivered to agent, unquote, on July 30th, 2021. Emails were also sent to Johnson informing him of the complaint notices, but he did not respond. To date, neither Johnson nor anyone representing him have requested a hearing. To briefly summarize his case, on July 17, 2020, Officer Johnson visited friends who lived in Glendale. Over the course of the evening, he and those friends, a married couple, consumed alcohol, and Officer Johnson became intoxicated. After he left the house, the couple called Glendale PD and reported that Officer Johnson had been aggressive and combative, had assaulted them, and had damaged property in their home. Responding officers noted a small amount of property damage and slight injuries to the couple. The female also later reported Johnson groped her breasts without her consent. Officer Johnson declined to provide a statement to Glendale officers, but he was admitted to a medical facility for a 72-hour evaluation. Criminal charges against him were submitted by officers but never actually filed. Ultimately, Mesa sustained allegations against him for unbecoming conduct, and he was terminated. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke Officer Johnson's peace officer certification, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the board votes to accept staff's recommendation to revoke Mr. Johnson's peace officer certification in case number 20-167.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-135, Ms. Haas. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Haas, one of your compliance specialists. This case involved former TPD officer Jacob Martinez and was presented to the board at the July board meeting. As a reminder, on March 14, 2020, Officer Martinez responded to a sexual assault with Officer Robeson. Robeson asked Martinez to go to the park where the assault allegedly occurred to check for a crime scene. Martinez failed to properly investigate the sexual assault case by not collecting crucial evidence in the violent crime. On May 3, 2020, Martinez was untruthful in his administrative hearing when he said he collected the evidence from the crime scene and transported it back to the call location However, his vehicle GPS showed he never returned to that location. A notice of complaint was sent by regular and certified U.S. mail. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned, and according to USPS tracking, the certified notice was delivered July 30th, 2021 at 1:13 p.m. To date, Officer Martinez has not requested a hearing or made contact with Arizona Post. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to revoke Mr. Martinez's peace officer certification.
Thank you, sir. Do we hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed to saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-134. Ms. Hawes, back to you.
This is the other case that ties in with Officer Martinez's case. This case involving former TPD Officer Christian Robeson was originally presented to you at the July board meeting. As a brief reminder, this case involved two complaints against Robeson. On December 21st, 2019, Officer Robeson failed to make an arrest of an individual after he performed a query on his computer, which came back with a stop and arrest for aggravated assault, a Class 6 felony, and a stop and interview for a DV assault. On March 14th, 2020, Robeson also failed to properly investigate a sexual assault case by not collecting crucial evidence in a violent crime. A notice of complaint was sent by both regular and certified U.S. mail. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned, and according to USPS tracking, the certified notice was delivered July 30, 2021 at 5:17 p.m. To date, Officer Robeson has not requested a hearing or made contact with Arizona Post staff. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Halls. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Foskis, I move to revoke Mr. Wilkson's peace officer certification, case number 20-134.
Thank you. Chief, do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-037. Heckle.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heckle, one of your compliance specialists.
Ms. Heckle didn't stop you. For the record, the director recused himself. Back to you. Sorry about that.
Trooper Powers worked for the Department of Public Safety from 2001 through February 2020. In November of 2019, the Department of Public Safety received a complaint from the Adult Probation Department about Trooper Powers. They complained he was at their facility on personal business with his wife, but was in full uniform and driving his patrol vehicle. He was not allowed past security since he was armed and not on official business. When DPS audited Trooper Powers' time card for that day, he had not reported that he had any appointments or took any time off. He showed that he worked his normal shift from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. During the investigation that followed, it was determined that between December 2019 and February 2020, Trooper Powers falsified timekeeping documents by reporting to work 72 hours that he did not work. He also allowed an unauthorized passenger in his vehicle six times. He ran 30 ACEGIS checks on plates and driver's licenses with no law enforcement purposes. In February 2020, Trooper Powers resigned from the Department of Public Safety. In March of 2020, criminal charges were filed through the Maricopa County Superior Court for one count of fraudulent schemes, a Class 2 felony, seven counts of forgery, a Class 4 felony, and five counts of unauthorized access to criminal history, a Class 6 felony. On July 26, 2021, former Trooper Powers pled guilty to three counts of attempt to commit fraud schemes and practices, a Class 6 felony. Since former Trooper Powers pled guilty to felonies per post rules, this is a mandatory revocation case, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckle. Any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to revoke Mr. Powers' peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. A second, please.
A second.
Thank you, Commander. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case. Thank you, Ms. Heckle. Next case, 21-065. Ms. Nichols, floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Darcy Nichols. I'm one of your compliance specialists. And this morning, I'm presenting several cases on behalf of Steve Jacobs, who is not available. On September 12, 2020, Deputy Israel M. Juarez traveled from his family residence in Gloria to Stafford, Arizona, along with his son from a previous relationship, his pregnant wife, GJ, and her son and daughter from a previous relationship, to attend a birthday celebration for a family friend. On their way, the Juarez family stopped in Thatcher and rented a hotel room before traveling to the Graham County Fairgrounds in Safford, where Deputy Juarez began consuming alcoholic beverages. Following the activity at the fairgrounds, the Juarez family went to a residence of a family friend for a party where Deputy Juarez, according to witnesses, continued consuming alcoholic beverages to the point of becoming both intoxicated and belligerent. According to witnesses, Deputy Juarez began directing profane language towards Ms. GJ and another female attempting to calm the situation. Deputy Juarez began directing profanity towards that female as well. The female's husband verbally interceded, and in response, Deputy Juarez reportedly became verbally aggressive and was instructed to leave by the homeowner. Deputy Juarez took his vehicle keys from Ms. GJ, and he and his son went to his vehicle. According to Ms. GJ, she believed Deputy Juarez needed a period of time to calm down, so she did not immediately go to the vehicle. Deputy Juarez and his son sat in the vehicle for several minutes and then drove away, leaving Ms. GJ and her two small children stranded. After Deputy Juarez's departure, it was discovered that he had removed Ms. GJ's and her children's personal property from the vehicle and had left the property in a dirt field. A few days following the party, a post was placed on Facebook reporting that they had found the electronic tablet on the shoulder of the road of US 70 and were hoping to locate the tablet's owner. The electronic tablet proved to be the property of one of Ms. GJ's children. According to Ms. GJ, she never recovered all of her property, to include her stethoscope and a second child's electronic tablet. Deputy Juarez was interviewed on March 8, 2021. He denied consuming an excessive amount of alcohol and reported that he sat and talked with a gentleman about sports throughout the evening. Based on the statements of witnesses, the Gila County Sheriff's Office concluded that Deputy Juarez committed disorderly conduct and that he had also operated his vehicle while under the influence. No criminal investigation, however, was executed. On April 6, 2021, Deputy Juarez was terminated by the Gila County Sheriff's Office. The board voted to initiate proceedings on July 21, 2021, and a notice of complaint was sent by both regular and certified U.S. mail. The notice sent by regular mail has not been returned, and according to USPS tracking, the certified notice was delivered July 30, 2021. To date, Deputy Juarez has not requested a hearing or made contact with AZ Post. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to revoke Mr. Juarez's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second, Jerry Williams.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Next case, 21-043. Ms. Nichols, back to you.
Thank you. Darcy Nichols, compliance specialist. This one involves the Navajo Division of Public Safety Officer Joel Lupe. During the evening hours of January 21st, 2021, while off duty, Navajo Division of Public Safety Officer Joel Lupe was consuming alcohol with his stepson in their residence in Coyote Canyon, New Mexico. Also in the home was Officer Lupe's wife and his 19-year-old stepdaughter, Ms. K.Y. At about 22:30 hours, Ms. K.Y. secured herself in the bathroom and showered. When she exited the shower, Ms. K.Y. noticed something appeared to be moving at the bottom of the bathroom door. Ms. K.Y. put her contact lenses in and noted the item moving appeared to be a cell phone, with the camera pointed towards the interior of the bathroom. Ms. KY threw a towel over the cellular phone, dressed, and exited the bathroom, but did not see the person who may have been using the cell phone. The following morning, on January 22, 2021, Ms. KY confronted her older brother, who had been drinking with Officer Lupe the night before. Ms. KY's brother denied knowledge of the event, and he and Ms. KY went into the bedroom of their parents and located the cellular phone belonging to Officer Lupe. Their examination of Officer Lupe's phone discovered more than 5 still photographs and a 3-second video of Ms. KY while she was in the bathroom and naked. Officer Lupe was terminated by the Navajo Division of Public Safety on February 9, 2021. The board voted to initiate proceedings on July 21, 2021, and a notice of complaint was sent by both regular and certified mail. The notice sent by regular mail has not been returned, and according to USPS tracking, a certified notice was delivered on August 3, 2021. To date, Officer Lupe has not requested a hearing or made contact with AZ Post. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to revoke Mr. Lupe's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Last final action case, 21-042. Back to you, Ms. Nichols.
Darcy Nichols, compliance specialist. On May 2nd, 2018, at 0704, Navajo Division of Public Safety Officer Randall Tommaso checked in on duty from his residence in Page, Arizona, and began patrol operations in his department vehicle. At about 10 o'clock, while in the Tuba City District Office, a coworker noted an odor of alcohol emanating from Officer Tommaso and reported the matter to his supervisor. Officer Tommaso was ordered to submit to a portable breath test at 1100 hours, which indicated a blood alcohol content of 0.061%. A second portable breath test was administered at 11:11 hours and indicated a blood alcohol content of 0.062%. Using the average alcohol metabolism breakdown of 0.016% per hour, Navajo Division of Public Safety investigators determined Officer Tommaso to have had a blood alcohol content of about 0.11% when he checked in for duty and began operating his patrol vehicle. When questioned, Officer Tommaso admitted only to consuming 5 12-ounce beers beginning at about 1900 hours on May 1st, the previous day. The internal investigation report noted, however, that Officer Tommaso had a history of alcohol abuse. The Navajo Division of Public Safety did not complete a DUI criminal investigation, but he was terminated on December 27th of 2019. The board voted to initiate proceedings on July 21st, 2021, and a notice of complaint was sent by both regular and certified U.S. mail. The notice sent by regular mail has not been returned, and according to USPS tracking, the certified notice was delivered July 30th, 2021. Officer Tommaso has not requested a hearing or made contact with Arizona Post to date. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols.
So, Mr. Chairman, just one comment before we vote, if I may.
Sure.
So cases like this really bother me because this person has an illness, and that illness is then bleeding into his or her job. It doesn't mean we shouldn't revoke a certification, but I just wish agencies would look to try to help our officers as opposed to having things get to this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well stated. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to revoke Mr. Tommaso's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Sure, Chair. I'll
second. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Agenda item number F. Thank you, Ms. Nichols. New cases. First case, 20131. Mr. Delton.
Mr. Chair, Mark Bryfield, just for record, I am returning as your legal counsel for the remainder of these cases, including the Anaya case.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Mr. Delton, the floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Yeah, it's still morning. This first case involves current Tucson Police Officer Alfred Anaya. On July 17, 2019, the Tucson Police Department's Community Response Team, or CRT, conducted mobile surveillance on a vehicle leaving a known target house where a police shooting resulted in a gang member's death 1 month prior, as well as an assault on a police officer. Previous traffic stops from this location produced drugs, guns, cash, and documented violent gang members. CRT officers followed a vehicle that had left the house and identified a traffic violation, and then conducted a stop in a private parking lot on South Palo Verde Road. In full uniform, Officer Jesus Tapia initiated the stop, and Officer Carlos Weeks assisted. After the stop, the driver of the vehicle, Mr. VL, removed the ignition key. However, during the course of the stop, he placed the key back into the ignition and started the vehicle, contrary to Officer Tapia's direction. Officer Tapia yelled at Mr. VL to stop and then drew his firearm. Officer Tapia then struck Mr. VL on the side of the head, on the side of his head, with the barrel of his pistol. The vehicle drove forward, causing Officer Tapia to remove himself from the vehicle's immediate area and knocked Officer Weeks to the ground as he was reaching inside the car. Officer Anaya chased the vehicle on foot after it evaded another unmarked CRT vehicle or vehicles in the parking lot. As the vehicle exited the parking lot, it collided with a citizen's vehicle traveling northbound on Palo Verde Boulevard. Officer John Riley employed a vehicle immobilization technique and stopped Mr. VL's vehicle. Officer Anaya rapidly approached the vehicle on foot and fired six rounds into the driver's door, striking Mr. VL twice. Mr. VL opened his car door with his hands up, and Officer Tapia then removed him from the vehicle, where he was placed under arrest. On January 24, 2020, the Pima County Attorney's Office declined to file criminal charges against Officer Anaya, stating, in part, Officer Anaya was justified in his use of deadly physical force. The manner in which Mr. VL operated the Malibu created a substantial risk of causing death or serious physical injury, and therefore constituted the use of deadly physical force. Officer Anaya's use of deadly physical force was reasonably calculated to eliminate those risks. On July 21, 2020, the Tucson Police Department found Officer Anaya's use of lethal force was not proportional to the actions exhibited by Mr. VL and terminated his employment. In September of 2020, Officer Anaya appealed his termination to the Civil Service Commission, and the commission found in favor of Officer Anaya and ordered he be reinstated as a Tucson police officer, stating in part that the appellant's use of force was within policy. We have a video of the shooting to show you, and Dan, if you can show that now, appreciate that. For the board on this matter, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Dale. Questions, comments?
Got a question, Mike. So, county attorney, as most county attorneys do, they don't say in policy, out of policy. They just say they decline prosecution if there's no no grounds that a crime was committed.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Was the suspect charged with a crime?
I have to go back. Give me a minute to check my overview, my file. From my recollection, just in the interest of time, he had a felony warrant, so he had that. As far as any OV or on view kind of criminal activity, I don't believe so.
They didn't charge him with ag assault?
At this point, I would have to actually go back through the interview to see.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, Mr. Rand.
When reviewing these, when reviewing this case with Mr. Delvin, I believe I did confirm that the suspect was charged with aggravated assault.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Thank you, Gino.
And civil service felt his actions were in keeping and let him keep his job?
Yes, I think I placed all the information that I had available in the overview. I kind of skimmed through that. But yes, that's correct.
Any other comments, questions? And I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion that the board take no action with agency discretion.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Director. Second by Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Carries. Next case.
Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse myself. Thank you.
For the record, thank you. Next case, 21-103. Mr. Delton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves current Phoenix Police Officer Stephen Behe. I believe that's pronounced. On December 8th, 2019, Officer Stephen Behe was involved in a verbal altercation with his 15-year-old daughter, Miss M.B., while they were at their home. The argument resulted in a physical confrontation and continued after Miss M.B. Damaged property in her bedroom and assaulted Officer Behe. In order to control Miss M.B., Officer B used personally owned handcuffs to restrain her and then handcuffed her behind her back. He later removed the cuffs after she calmed down. Miss MB advised staff members where she attended school what had happened, and the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, or MCSO, initiated a criminal investigation. MCSO investigators learned portions of the incident were captured on a Ring surveillance camera. Officer Behe had utilized that Ring surveillance camera in his living room of his home. Investigators obtained a search warrant for the Ring surveillance footage and found three videos had been deleted by Officer Behe prior to the service of the warrant. Investigators believe that the deleted videos correlated with the incident involving Miss MB and captured parts of the physical confrontation or aftermath. Officer Behe told Professional Standards Bureau investigators that the videos did not capture the incident with Miss MB, and he deleted them in order to streamline the process of sharing those videos with the Department of Child Safety investigators. However, based on the timeline of events from Miss MB's statements, two of the deleted videos would have possibly captured a physical altercation between Miss MB and Officer B. MCSO submitted the case to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office with a recommendation to charge Officer B with 2 counts of child abuse and 3 counts of tampering with physical evidence. The county attorney declined to prosecute Officer Behe due to no reasonable likelihood of conviction. The Phoenix Police Department unresolved the allegation of child abuse, but did sustain the allegation Officer Behe committed tampering with physical evidence. Officer Behe did receive a 120-hour suspension and then remains today on the police department in a sworn capacity certified. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dutton. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. B.T.'s peace officer certification.
Thank you, sir. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-109. Mr. Delton, back to you.
And Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse myself on this one, too.
Let it be noted in the record. Thank you, Chief. Back to you, Mr. Delton.
This case involves former Phoenix Police Officer Pedro Martinez. On May 5th, 2021, Mr. L.J. reported that during an argument at their home, Officer Pedro Martinez threw a Brita water filter at him, blocked his way, and held him when he tried to leave. Mr. L.J. also alleges that Officer Martinez threatened to hit or stab Mr. L.J. with a metal filing tool after Mr. L.J. locked him outside of the residence. Officer Martinez was not on duty at the time of this incident. Mr. L.J. explained that he and Officer Martinez were drinking heavily on Cinco de Mayo, and the two got into an argument which led to these allegations. The Phoenix Police Special Investigations Detail, or SID, was notified and responded to the scene. Mr. L.J. did not have any injuries, and there was nothing damaged at the residence. There were no witnesses during the incident and no video surveillance. Mr. L.J. declined to aid in prosecution and only wished to leave the residence for the night. SID investigators interviewed Officer Martinez, who advised that he could only remember yelling at Mr. L.J. and ended up outside in his underwear when the police arrived. While he could not remember what happened, he did say that when two of them get into the argument, Mr. L.J. normally tries to leave, and Officer Martinez usually tries to stand in the way so they can talk through their disagreements. Officer Martinez said he drank a large quantity of alcohol and passed out twice prior to that argument. SID determined that there was insufficient evidence to corroborate Mr. LJ's allegations against Officer Martinez. Mr. LJ declined prosecution, and the criminal case was closed. Prior to the criminal investigation's conclusion and prior to the Professional Standards Bureau investigators interviewing Officer Martinez, he resigned his employment with the Phoenix Police Department. At this point in time, insufficient information is available to establish by a preponderance of evidence whether Officer Martinez threw a water filter at Mr. LJ, blocked his way, or threatened him. If Officer Martinez is to be appointed as a peace officer again, it will be incumbent upon the agency completing the background investigation to attempt to resolve these issues. Based on the information available at this time, it's recommended that the board resolve this matter in the future, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Delton, questions, comments? Not entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Vasquez, I move to close this case and resolve in the future.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-155. Mr. Delton, back to you.
This case involves former Flagstaff Police Officer Michael Randall. On July 28, 2021, Officer Randall responded to a domestic violence call for service. He spoke to the victim and the suspect and failed to write a supplemental report. On July 29th of 2021, he was ordered to write a supplemental report. The report Officer Randall authored did not accurately represent the facts of the case. In his report, he wrote that victim Miss MB did not make any statements to him regarding an assault on her. He also wrote that he did not ask suspect Mr. VM any investigatory questions. Both of these statements are false. Officer Randall's body-worn camera recorded Miss MB making a statement to him regarding Mr. VM assaulting her. Officer Randall's camera also recorded him asking the suspect several investigatory questions. The Flagstaff Police Department sustained a policy violation against Officer Randall of failure to disclose or misrepresenting material facts or making false or misleading statements on official police report. On August 11, 2021, Officer Randall resigned in lieu of termination. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'm happy to answer the questions.
Thank you, Mr. Delton. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept staff's recommendation and initiate proceedings against Mr. Randall's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, ma'am. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. The chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-177. Ms. Haas.
Yeah.
There you go. It's all yours.
Okay. On May 19, 2020, Officer George Myers, formerly with the Tucson Police Department, along with other officers, responded to an apartment complex in Tucson reference a fight call, and that a resident of the complex was arguing with someone and they would not let him leave. When officers contacted Mr. R., the individual supposedly being held against his will, he exited his apartment and abruptly closed the door behind him. He denied he was a victim of a crime. When Officer Myers asked for consent to enter the apartment, Mr. R. refused. When Mr. R. walked downstairs to meet with a community service employee, Myers kicked the apartment door and it opened. He then ordered the occupants outside the apartment and detained them on the landing for several minutes before being released from the scene. Officer Marone, who was at the door with Myers, was concerned about Myers' actions and contacted his lead police officer, who in turn contacted Sergeant Hout. Myers kicked open the door after being told no by Mr. R. He detained and directed the detention of several people by other officers after ordering them to exit the apartment without cause. He was untruthful in clearing the call instead of writing a report documenting the entire incident. In his official police report, he falsely characterized how the door was open. When he was interviewed by Sergeant Hout, he offered multiple implausible explanations for the disparities between his actions, his official reports, and statements and body-worn camera footage. During his professional standards interview, he repeatedly offered incompleted and or false descriptions of his actions after being given his notice of investigation. TPD sustained allegations for untruthfulness, stop and detainment, and incomplete or inaccurate reports. He was served with a notice of discharge, however, resigned October 13, 2020. Based on the facts in this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Hawes, any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Myers, Peace Officer Certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
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 All opposed, I say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haas. Next case, 20-085. Ms. Heckle, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Arlene Heckle again, one of your compliance specialists. Sergeant Butler worked for the Gila River Police Department from 2010 to April of 2020. In October of 2019, Arizona Post received an anonymous letter complaining of misconduct by a Gila River Police Department lieutenant. When Arizona Post contacted Gila River PD, it was discovered this incident had been investigated in 2018 by the department, and there was no conduct that would violate Arizona Post rules at that time. The lieutenant was still employed at that agency, and Arizona Post administratively closed the case on that lieutenant. In December of 2019, Arizona Post received another anonymous letter alleging that this person had evidence that the same Gila River PD lieutenant admitted he had lied during the initial internal investigation in 2018. Gila River PD was recontacted, and they opened another investigation for the dishonesty charge. During that investigation, they found no information or evidence on that lieutenant or that he had been dishonest. So Arizona Post closed that second case as well. During that second investigation, Gila River investigators were able to determine the anonymous letters were sent to Arizona Post by a civilian employee, Mr. Emmy, at their agency. Mr. Emmy was interviewed and advised that he had learned about the lieutenant's behavior from a sister who worked with the subject who was initially in that first investigation. Mr. Emmy was concerned that the behavior and of the lieutenant and that it hadn't been dealt with properly, so he contacted Sergeant Butler to get advice on how to handle this. Sergeant Butler told him he could send a letter to Arizona Post. Mr. Emmy wrote both of the anonymous letters and emailed them to Sergeant Butler first so Sergeant Butler could proof the documents. Mr. Emmy and Sergeant Butler also exchanged several text messages about the incident. On April 1st, 2020, Sergeant Butler was interviewed by Internal Affairs. Sergeant Butler advised Mr. Emmy had come to him about the lieutenant's behavior, but that Mr. Emmy had not given him any details. He said he did not know anything about the original investigation. Sergeant Butler said that he had told Mr. Emmy to go to command staff, human resources, or to Arizona Post with his concerns. He also said that he never viewed the letters that Mr. Emmy wrote, even though Emmy had offered to send them for him to look at. On April 15th, Sergeant Butler was interviewed again, and this time he was confronted with the text messages that had gone on between himself and Mr. M.E. He admitted he knew about the investigations, and he admitted he had reviewed both letters prior to Mr. M.E. sending them to Arizona Post. He admitted he was dishonest in his first interview. On April 16, 2020, Sergeant Butler resigned from the Gila River Police Department. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Any questions, comments?
So, Mr. Chairman, just one. What happened to the lieutenant?
Nothing. They could never prove any misconduct on the lieutenant's part.
Thank you, Chief. Valid question. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson.
Go ahead.
I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Butler's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
I second, Chief Vasquez.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-083. Ms. Echo, back to you.
I got to recuse myself.
Let the record note, the director has recused himself.
Trooper Cardona worked for DPS from 2015 to May of 2020. In October of 2019, Trooper Cardona was living with his fiancée, Miss JJ. Miss JJ called the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office to report she had been assaulted in their home by an unknown subject. Trooper Cardona was not at home and was not involved in that situation. While the deputies were at the home investigating the assault, they noticed a large stack of vehicle license plates in the garage of the home. MCSO began a criminal investigation and conducted a search warrant. They found a total of 60 vehicle license plates and 76 driver's licenses. Trooper Cardona was interviewed. He advised the detective that when he would seize vehicle plates or driver's licenses from traffic stops, he would not turn them into the district station, but would take them home. MCSO determined that the Department of Motor Vehicles owned the seized items, and the Department of Motor Vehicles did not want to aid in prosecution, so no charges were filed by MCSO for theft of that property. An internal investigation began in January of 2020. DPS ran a CJIS report to determine when and where Trooper Cardona had run the inquiries on the licenses and the plates to when they were seized. That check also revealed Trooper Cardona ran an additional 25 inquiries on family members' plates and driver's licenses. During the internal investigation, Trooper Cardona was interviewed a total of four times. He first advised that he kept the seized items due to not being properly trained and not knowing what to do with them. He also advised he only ran his personal plate to see if the CJIS program was actually up and running. By the third interview, he admitted that he knew that he was required to turn in the seized plates and driver's licenses and that he had been dishonest in previous interviews. By the fourth interview, he admitted to running inquiries through the CJIS on his personal plate and also on family members' plates and licenses with no law enforcement purposes. Trooper Cardona admitted to misusing the CJIS system and to being dishonest with internal affairs investigators. In May of 2020, Trooper Cardona resigned from DPS. Charges were filed through the Maricopa Superior Court for 17 counts of unauthorized access to criminal history. In January of 2021, former Trooper Cardona entered into a two-year felony diversion program. To participate in this program, he agreed he committed the charged offenses and acknowledged this admission of guilt could be used against him in a subsequent criminal trial if he fails to complete this diversion program. Based on the facts of this case, Post staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Heckel. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Vasquez, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Cordona's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second. Jerry Williams.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 20-155. Mr. Mr. McIntyre?
McIntyre. My name is Rob McIntyre. I'm one of your compliance specialists. This matter involves former DPS State Trooper Michael Antando.
Mr. McIntyre, let me just stop you for a sec. Sorry, not to interrupt your flow there. For the record, the director will be recused. Back to you.
No problem. This matter involves former DPS Trooper Michael Antando, who was terminated by DPS on August 7, 2020. Trooper Antando was terminated because of his actions while he was employed as a Yuma City police officer in 2016 and because of his untruthfulness to DPS investigators during the corresponding 2020 investigation. As background information, during the school year from 2015 into 2016, the Yuma City Police Department teamed with a local high school's Industrial Cooperative Education Program, an ICE program, which is similar to an Explorer program, to provide senior year high school students interested in a career in law enforcement direct contact with city police officers through police ride-alongs and other police-related interactions. Officer Antando, who at the time was 23 years old, participated as a police liaison. A 17-year-old female student named Tiffany T. was one of the enrolled senior year students. In about February 2016, after participating in her first ride-along with Officer Antando, Tiffany texted the officer to say that she had a good time and to thank him. The texting continued, and as a flirtation, Tiffany sexted him pictures of her breasts. Shortly thereafter, Officer Antando and Tiffany had a second ride-along together. One of the calls they responded to was a domestic dispute. While Officer Antando was conducting an investigative interview, he grabbed Tiffany's buttocks. At the completion of the call, they returned to the patrol vehicle, at which time Officer Antando asked Tiffany to engage in sexual intercourse with him in his police vehicle. She declined. In about February 2016, on a Wednesday evening at about 2000 hours, Officer Antando invited Tiffany to his residence. After her arrival, which was her first and only time there, she and Officer Antando watched a movie, kissed, and talked. They then relocated to his bedroom where they engaged in sexual intercourse. At the time, Tiffany was 17 years old. This is a violation of ARS 13-1405A. These events were not disclosed to law enforcement until April 2020, at which time the Yuma Police Department opened a criminal investigation into the sex offense, and DPS conducted an internal affairs investigation into Trooper Antando's professional conduct. On April 8th and on May 26, 2020, Tiffany was interviewed by both Yuma Police and DPS detectives. In addition to her statements, she provided the Yuma detectives an accurate hand-drawn sketch of the interior of Antando's residence. She added that as she was leaving Trooper Antando's residence, he told her not to tell anyone that they had had sex. When she returned home, she told her girlfriend, Allison C., we did it. DPS detectives interviewed Trooper Antando during their investigation once on April 9, 2020, and again on July 27, 2020. During both interviews, Trooper Antando denied that he grabbed Tiffany's buttocks during the domestic dispute call. Trooper Antando was untruthful to DPS detectives when he stated he was totally appropriate when he texted with Tiffany. He denied he received any sexually oriented sextings from Tiffany, which would have included images of her breasts. During both interviews, Trooper Antando was untruthful when he denied having sexual intercourse with Tiffany when she was 17 years old. Trooper Antando was untruthful to DPS detectives on July 27, 2020, when he explained that he had sexual intercourse with Tiffany in his residence when she was 18 years old. He described that in early 2018, Tiffany reached out to him via text message to question about a traffic-related incident. During that communication, they rekindled their friendship, and that same day, he invited her to his residence, where he had sexual intercourse. To verify his recollection, Trooper Antando remembered seeing his DPS-assigned white and blue SUV patrol vehicle parked at his residence when Tiffany arrived. On July 27, 2020, DPS detectives informed Trooper Antando that between September 2017 and July 2018, He had been on industrial or light-duty leave and was not authorized to have a state vehicle at his residence. Furthermore, his assigned vehicle had been parked at the Yuma DPS compound being routinely used by other troopers. Trooper Antando was untruthfully maintained that his state vehicle had been parked at his residence when he and Tiffany had sexual intercourse in early 2018. During Trooper Antando's interview on April 9th, he maintained he only communicated with the senior high school ICE students via text. He also said he did not contact Tiffany after he left the Yuma Police Department in June 2016. Trooper Antando proved to be untruthful to DPS detectives when, after being shown the talk activity records on his cell phone, he was able to explain why 5 1-minute phone calls had been made from his cell phone to Tiffany's cell phone on October 21st, 2016, and 2 phone calls had been made from his cell phone to Tiffany's cell phone on December 6th, 2016. The Yuma Police Department's criminal investigation into the Trooper Antando's The Yuma Police Department's criminal investigation into Trooper Antando was not submitted to the Yuma County Attorney's Office for the charges of sexual contact with a minor, a Class 6 felony. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman. Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Antando's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second, Chief Williams.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Next case, 21-060. Mr. DePort.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Dave Toporek, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Mojave County Sheriff's Deputy Kevin Loy. On January 12, 2021, deputies responded to the residence of Loy's mother-in-law, where the family had temporarily been living. The complainant, Loy's wife, Ms. T.L., was reporting a situation in which a family pig had been injured. Ms. T.L. told deputies that while she was away from the residence, she received a text message from Loy stating the family pig had been injured and its leg may be broken. Initially, Loy did not provide an explanation on the injury and how it occurred, but after prompting, explained the pig had nipped at one of the children. He picked up the animal and thrown it from the elevated home and down the stairs, possibly breaking its leg. The residence is a mobile home that from the ground has 3 stairs that lead to a landing and front porch area. When Ms. T.L. returned to the house, she confronted Loy about the incident. During the conversation, Loy became angry and began yelling, which prompted his mother-in-law to come from the back room. The mother-in-law advised that she wanted the couple to leave the residence and stay in a hotel for the remaining week as they were moving into a new home soon. Loy became further upset that the family was choosing a pig and said that if he is being kicked out for a pig, he is going to kill it. Loy exited the residence and refused the request of his wife to leave and get a hotel room. The argument continued outside with Loy yelling until the mother-in-law stated he needed to leave before she called the police. Loy then left the residence. Loy's wife told deputies that she was fearful for having called law enforcement. According to the report, she cited numerous incidents of physical and emotional abuse from Loy. She told deputies that it was routine for she and Loy to argue and fight, and that following the fights, Loy would drive away saying he was going to commit suicide. Ms. T.L. explained that she had not reported the other incidents as she did not want to separate the children from their father. She also said that lately she's been afraid due to random statements Loy has made to the effect of, quote, I am able to kill people at long distance with my rifle, unquote, and, quote, I could kill and bury them in Dolan and no one would know, unquote. After Loy left the residence, Ms. T.L. checked the location where Loy usually secures his duty handgun, but it was not there. Ms. Thiel told the deputies that she wanted Loy to get help for his temper and anger. After Loy left the residence, Ms. Thiel reported that she began receiving a series of text messages from him. The messages stated, "Thanks, I don't have a job anymore. I don't care anymore. Bye, won't see me again. Be kind to the boys." Efforts by the Mojave County Sheriff's Office to locate Loy were successful with the assistance of the Nevada Highway Patrol, who located Loy in a parking lot of a Las Vegas Walmart. On January 20, 2021, Loy submitted to a post-Miranda interview with the Mojave County Sheriff's Office. Loy told the investigators that he had been home with his kids and his mother-in-law. While his one-year-old was sitting on the floor, the family pot-bellied pig reared up and jumped on the child from behind. The pig pressed down and started to bite him. Loy picked up the pig and tossed it outside, then picked up his son. He denied throwing it down the stairs or trying to hurt it. Loy said that his mother-in-law then came into the room, and after he explained what had happened, she accused him of over-exaggerating, which pissed him off, and he yelled at her for a little bit. He added that about an hour later, his mother-in-law went outside to check on the pig and returned telling him that the pig's leg was messed up, so he went outside to patch it up. When his wife returned home, the two of them began to argue about the incident. Loy said that his wife told him that they needed to move now because her mother was mad about the incident with the pig, and according to Loy, that started a fight between he and his wife because he stated that he wanted to kill the pig for what it did. Loy added that they told him to leave, so he left. In addition, he said that he knew he wasn't going to see the kids for a while because he was kicked out, so he sent some stupid texts that said goodbye to the kids, tell them I love them, take care of the kids and be good to them, prior to turning off his phones. Loy told the investigator that at one point he said, "You're choosing the pig over me," and that he was pissed off and wanted to kill the pig. Loy added that at no time was the fight physical in nature and remained verbal, though at one point his wife did try to hold him back from going outside and picking up the pig and taking it out to the field to kill it. Loy was issued a criminal citation for disorderly conduct, domestic violence, and cruelty to animals. According to veterinary records, the pig was taken for examination on January 15, 2020, and discovered to have a fractured leg. On June 8, 2021, the Mojave County Sheriff's Office filed a motion to dismiss the case, citing a lack of cooperation of the victim, Ms. Thiel, and the lack of availability of the veterinarian who treated the animal. On August 11, 2021, I telephoned Ms. Thiel to discuss the statement that she had made concerning past incidents of physical and emotional abuse. Ms. Thiel made it clear that she had no desire to speak with me. Based on the criminal report, the Mojave County Sheriff's Office sustained allegations of policy violations concerning the office's code of ethics, general standards, laws, rules, and orders, performance and conduct reflecting adversely on the office or employee, and terminated him from employment in February of 2021. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chaport. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Loy's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye, motion carries. Thank you. Next case, 20-185. Mr. Taborik, back to you for the last case of the day.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this case involves former Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Deputy Darren Norris. From approximately 2012 through 2017, Deputy Norris was assigned as a school resource officer at the Queen Creek High School. Apart from his SRO duties, Norris worked in an off-duty capacity for the school in the morning and afternoon conducting traffic control. In approximately June of 2017, Queen Creek school officials met with MCSO regarding concerns that Deputy Norris was working off-duty for the school while still being paid for the same time by the sheriff's office. MCSO began a criminal and administrative investigation into the allegations. According to the criminal investigation, records revealed that Norris clocked into the MCSO time system, ADP, and the Queen Creek High School time system, at the same time, resulting in being paid for the work by both entities. Norris had been double-dipping since 2012, but after a conversation with his supervisor in October of 2013, he starts clocking in and out correctly, but later again reverts to double-dipping. According to investigators, Deputy Norris double-dipped in excess of $34,000. Criminal investigators conducted a post-Miranda interview and asked Norris why he believed he was on administrative leave. He said that an MCSO captain had asked him if he was double-dipping, and he responded, "No, I am not. What I was doing was being honest with my hours when I clocked in. I just didn't clock in and out for the school because it was causing issues with ADP and my boss. So all I did was punch in and out and then basically work off the clock afterwards to make up the half hour I did for the school." Norris acknowledged that no one from MCSO had told him to account for his time that way. During the interview, Norris confirmed that since being made a school employee, he was required to utilize their time clock. His pay was specifically based on clocking in and out with the school, not a four-hour minimum, though Norris did not agree with this. He claimed that he had a verbal agreement with the school's prior principal to have a four-hour minimum. According to the investigator, Norris said that he was not going to do it their way, as they were always paid a four-hour minimum for events such as football games, dances, or basketball games. Norris added, "With a traffic control job, they didn't want to do that anymore, so I had to swipe in and out beyond the clock for that amount of time. It's a 15 to 20 minute job in the morning and 5 to 10 minutes in the afternoon, so it's a half hour total. So how do I get a minimum if they don't want to do it? They say I have to do the clock." The criminal case was submitted to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office for consideration of the following criminal charges: theft, a Class 2 felony, fraud schemes, a Class 2 felony, and a public monies violation, a Class 4 felony. The county attorney's office declined to file charges in this matter due to no likelihood of conviction. During the administrative investigation, Norris claimed that his sergeant at the time was aware he was not clocking in and out properly between the two employers, and it was okay with him. This was in direct conflict with conversation that Norris had with that MCSO captain. During that conversation, Norris claimed that no one from MCSO told him to report his time in that manner, where he was being paid by both entities at the same time. When confronted with the untruthful statements, Norris told investigators his sergeant, quote, "knew I had issues with ADP. I told him that I was going to start punching in once, two punches, in and out, and then I'll make up the rest of the time at the end," unquote. When asked why he told the captain that nobody gave him permission, Norris said that he did not want to get his sergeant in trouble. Norris was asked if he lied to the captain, and he said, "Yeah, just to save my boss's butt, and now look where it got me." When interviewed by investigators, Norris' sergeant denied ever allowing Norris to work off the clock and make up time instead of properly punching in and out as required. As a result of the administrative investigation, Norris was found to have sustained policy violations for MCSO policies, code of conduct, conformance to established laws, compensation in the ADP system, approval of recorded time in the ADP system, and truthfulness. On August 6, 2020, Norris submitted his immediate letter of resignation to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office prior to the administration of any discipline in this matter. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board has.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Any questions, comments? If not, I entertain a motion.
I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Norris's police peace officer certification.
Thank you, Director. Second. Professor, thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Again, thank you, Mr. Dalton. Director, any?
Nothing, sir. As normal, if there's anything the board would like us to look at for next meeting, we're happy to do so.
Any final comments from board members? Thank you all. Long meeting. I appreciate the healthy dialogue. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commander. So moved. We will call this meeting to close. Thank you all. See you next month. Be safe.